All right, good to be here this morning. Am I on? I'm on. All right, good to see you today. Good to be in Sunday school, isn't it? Amen. I love Sunday school. My wife and I are in a different church, different meeting every week. And I'll call the preacher and I'll say, what time church start? He'll say, well, Sunday school starts at 10 or 9:30 or whatever, but you got to be here at 11. I said, no, that's not the way it works. And I pastored almost 40 years and fussed at people because they didn't come to Sunday school. So I try to go to Sunday school. I like it. Well, good to see you this morning. Good to see this good number in Sunday school today. And good to be back at Currytown Baptist Church today. And good to be in the house of God. I want to go ahead right now and give everybody a faith promise card. Let me just say one or two real quick things before I... What time I got to be done? Okay. Everybody get a faith promise card. And how many everybodies are there here? Some of y'all not sure, amen. But I want everybody to be sure and get one of these today. And just hang on to it. And if you lose this card, every stoplight you come to the next 90 days will be red. So don't lose this card, all right? Hang on to it. And don't write anything on it now. We are going to write on it today, but not right now. So anyhow, could I get maybe three guys? There's one, there's two, and there's three, all right? There's three, that'll work. I got plenty of fits, it's not enough. There we go. There we go. And I've got plenty more if that's not enough. Okay. Everybody. How many's here? Raise your hand. All right. Everybody get one of those cards. All right. Everybody get one. Hang on to them. And again, I got more if you need more. I want to say this while they're passing them out. I've been saved 53 years this year. One of the greatest things that ever happened to me was, of course, was the day I got saved. God called me to preach. The day I got married. All that's good stuff. But one of the greatest things that ever happened to me in the ministry was the day that somebody introduced me to faith, promise, mission, giving. God changed my life many, many, many years ago through faith, promise, mission, giving. My daddy gave the faith promise. My dad pastored 55 years before he went home to be with the Lord in 07. And my dad gave the faith promise missions. We didn't even know what faith promise was, but he was doing it. And I learned later what he was doing. And he didn't have the money, but he trusted God for it. And God always met the need. We didn't know what faith promise, that terminology was. But he taught me that many, many years ago. And I want to say to you this morning, one of the greatest things that ever happened to me in my ministry was the day that a preacher introduced me to faith promise mission giving. And I love it today. I sure do. I practice it. I do it. I preach it. And I love it today. And I want to say to you this morning, God is a God that operates by faith. And anytime you trust God, just you put a little bit of faith and a great big God, He'll shock you what He'll do. So I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about that. I'm going to read in 2 Corinthians 5 and before I get done. But I'll say two or three things before I get there this morning. 2 Corinthians 8, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Chapter 5 is good too. I've done preached on chapter 5 here. And anyhow, we're going to chapter number 8 here in just a minute. Let me have a word of prayer and I'm going to read the scripture in a minute. Father, help us today. I pray you'll give me that I need this morning. I want to be a blessing. I want to be a help. And I pray the Spirit of God will take the Word of God and work in our hearts today. And may all the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just say two or three real quick things about offerings today. When you study your Bible, you'll find there are several different offerings that's mentioned in the Word of God. As a matter of fact, to study your Bible, the first time offering that's mentioned in the Bible is found in Genesis chapter 3. And I'll say this before I start giving you scripture. You need to write down what I'm going to say. You can't listen fast enough to get everything I say. So you need to write down the verses, and I'm serious about that. Write down the verses that I have reference to today and study them out for yourself, okay? But I want to say the first time offering is mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 4, verse number 3. The last time offering is mentioned in the Bible is in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 15. And there's many different kind of offerings that's mentioned in the Word of God. We could go down through the book of Leviticus today and find several different offerings that's mentioned there in the book of Leviticus today. But there's five offerings that's mentioned in the New Testament this morning. And I want to take just a minute talk about four of them. Then I'll take a majority of my time and talk about the fifth one. If you said in the New Testament, I'll read the scripture in just a minute. If you said in the New Testament, you'll find there's at least five different offerings. It has to do with the New Testament church today. And let me just say this before I give them to you this morning. I hear preachers say this all the time. Boy, I hate preaching on giving. Well, I want to say I don't hate preaching on giving. I like preaching on giving. Because it's in the Bible, amen. I enjoy preaching on giving. And if you ever get the blessing of giving and the results of that, what God does in your life, I promise you it'll change your life. So let me give you two or three offerings here, and I'm going to read here in just a minute. First of all, if you study your Bible this morning, that's what we call a spiritual offering. And notice, let's just go ahead and read the scripture so you can see that this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. If you know anything about your Bible, you know what this is about. When you come to chapter 8 and chapter 9, it deals with Christian giving. The first seven chapters of 2 Corinthians deals with Christian living. But chapter 8 and chapter 9 deals with Christian giving. And notice what Paul does here. What he does, he uses the churches of Macedonia as an example. Let's look at it this morning. Bible said in verse number 1, I'm in chapter 8, not chapter 5. Everybody got it? Here we go. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. And that's an interesting little word. W-I-T, it simply talks about witness. To wit, a witness of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, I didn't take time this morning because it takes a lot of time to do it. But I have a map and show you where those churches of Macedonia are. And Paul is saying to those Corinthians, I want you to look at the Macedonia churches. They're the ones that put Paul on the mission field. Notice in verse number 2, how that in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality or their liberal giving. Their condition is not good. They're in poverty. I'll say more about that later. Look at verse 3. For their power I bear you record. And yea, beyond their power they have within themselves. You do what you can and God will do what you can't. Yeah, that's right. Notice the next verse. Pray thus we much entreated that we receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. Now, notice in verse number 5. Paul says here in verse number 5, and this they did not as we hope, but first gave their selves to the Lord. I'll say first offering is mentioned that you need to get a hold of in the New Testament. It's what we call a spiritual offering. And what I mean by that is God wants you.
Amen.
God wants you.
Yes.
You said, does he want my billfold? I tell you what, he wants more than your billfold. He wants you.
Amen.
And when you give yourself, I promise you, he'll get this right here.
Right.
And Paul is saying here, they first gave themselves to the Lord. And I'll say to you as a church this morning, Sunday school class today, the Lord wants you this morning.
Yes.
He wants to use you today. And by the way, can I just say this real quick? That staggers my mind when I think about that. To think that God would want somebody like me. I'm a nobody that become a somebody that I might influence everybody. Huh? And think that God will use me. And God will use you. And so I'll say to you this morning, God wants you today. The spiritual offering, what I mean by that is, giving yourself to the Lord. Lord, whatever you want, that's what I want. Whatever you want to do in my life, that's what I want you to do. I got saved in 1970. But it was probably the latter part of 71. Before I really give my life as far as service to God. And I remember I'm taking the place right now. Way up in the mountain, the foot of the mountain, a church called Billings Hill Baptist Church. Auditorium's not as big as this right here.
Right.
I went to an altar one night during revival, after the preacher preached on Romans chapter 12 verse 1 and 2, and gave myself to the Lord. I said, Lord, you can have my mouth. You didn't have my ears. You didn't have my head. I want you to have everything I got. And I'll say to you, that spiritual gift. That's you this morning. I can't dwell on that. First of all, that's a spiritual gift. That's the first offering matching New Testament. Number two, then the second offering I want to make mention of, and I'll come back to this scripture in a minute, it's called systematically giving. And when I talk about systematically giving, that's talking about tithing this morning. Did that go over good? Tithing. And by the way, can I just say this about tithing today? You don't do God a favor when you tithe. That's already His this morning. And not only spiritual giving, but systematically giving. That's that 10% that you give every week. And by the way, what a joy. Did you know, by the way, that's never changed? Right. It never went up. It's always stayed the same. And when you study about tithing this morning, it's 10%. As a matter of fact, if you study your Bible, you'll find Leviticus chapter 27, verse 32. And concerning the tithe, the herd or the flock, even whatsoever passeth under the rod, a tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. So we know from the Bible, a tithe is 10% this morning. And it's holy unto the Lord. It's holy because who it goes to. And it's holy because what it does this morning. And I want to say this about tithing today. Again, you don't do God a favor when you tithe. And by the way, if you're saved, everybody tithes. You say, I don't tithe, you do. That might be to the doctor. It might be to the plumber, boy, I hate that. It might be to the mechanic down the road. But I promise you, God will get his money. So I'm saying to you this morning, the systematically, that's a tithe today. And let me just say this about that. I'm watching the clock because I want to get to what I want to say. Somebody said, tithing is under the law. Well, you're wrong about that. Tithing was before the law, during the law, and after the law. Yeah, Genesis chapter 14, Abraham started it. And if you study your Bible this morning, you'll find how Jacob continued it in Genesis 18. You'll find also Moses also incorporated it in Numbers chapter 18. And also in Deuteronomy chapter 14. And Jesus commended it. Matthew 23:23, he commended that. And I want to say this to you this morning, that tithe is his today. And faith, let's say that faith promise. When you give faith promise, that's not tithe. Faith promise is above the tithe. It's above all the other offerings. I'll say that in just a minute. But I want to say this to you real quick this morning. The Bible is very plain about tithing. We know where to bring it. You bring it in the storehouse. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 2. When do you do it? You do it on the first day of the week. And you bring it into the storehouse. How the storehouse is the house of God. And listen to me. God will bless you if you do that. Every need, listen, churches don't have to have yard sales. Churches don't have to have car washes. Churches don't have to have all kinds of bake sales. How to keep the church doors open. That's not God's way of running the church. I'm preaching good. Are y'all hearing me? It's tithing this morning. So I'll say it's systematically given. It's talking about tithing today. Your tithe doesn't go to a TV preacher. Hello, Tokyo. Your tithe don't go to a radio preacher. Your tithe doesn't go to somebody down the road that's sick. All those years of pastor, I've had people come up to me and said, you know, preacher, I felt led to give my tithe to, oh, Joe, he's been out of work 3 weeks sick. I wonder who led them to do that. Try to fit that in the Bible. That's almsgiving. That's another way of giving. But the tithe goes to the church this morning. I've even had people get mad at me when I pastored. You know what they said? I'm taking my tithe. And number one, they're wrong because it's not theirs. But I'm taking, here's how they'd say it. I'm taking my tithe. I'm taking it home and I'm putting it in the chest drawer. Boy, that's spiritual, isn't it? And who they think are hurt when they do that? So I got to get off this because I want to get them a point. But I'll say tithe this morning belongs to the Lord. It's his. It's not mine. It's not yours. And if you study your Bible, the principles of the New Testament, but the practices in the New Testament. And how we ought to tithe. The principles found in Malachi chapter 3. And in Malachi chapter 3, if you study, he gives four promises out of your tithe. Verse number 7, he said in Malachi 3, we can have his presence. Verse number 10, we'd have his provisions. Verse number 11, we'd have his protection. And verse number 12, we'd have his power. All you got to do is just tithe. Do what you're supposed to do. I like what this older lady said. Older lady said this, I give all that he asked and take all that he promised. God will bless you for tithe. Are you listening? He surely will. I promise you that. He'll bless you for tithe. This church was having a financial problem and their treasurer had resigned the church out west. And the treasurer had resigned the church. So they go to a businessman in the church there that owns a grain mill where he buys all their grain. And they asked him, because he's a businessman, if he would take the treasurer's job in the church. And the guy said, I'll take it under two reasons. Number one, first of all, you don't ask any questions the first year. And number two, I'm not to give a financial report the first year. They said, okay, they trusted it, they believed it. So after the first year, here's what he done. They sold their grain to him. And they didn't know it, but he took 10% of their grain All those farmers in that church took 10% of their grain and kept it back. They didn't even miss it. At the end of that year, he gave a report. The church indebtedness of $228,000 had been paid off. Pastor's salary had been raised 8%. Missionaries had raises. No outstanding bills on the church. And they had $11,252 in treasure. Amen. And when he gave that report, everybody went into shock. And they said, what in the world happened? And he told them, listen, you can't beat tithing this morning. Are you listening to me? That's God's way. So I'll say to you this one, I've systematically given, spiritual giving. Then the third way, and I'll get to my point, that's what we call surplus giving. Yes. Surplus giving. Write this verse down. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down. I got to quit this. I'm going to start preaching if I don't. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, run it over, shall men give into your bosom. And I'll tell you something, friend. I've seen that work over and over again. That's called surplus giving. That's giving out of your abundance this morning. And God blesses that. I don't have time to deal with that. Surplus giving. Then there's sacrificial giving. How the little widow, Luke chapter 21. Luke 21, verse 1 through 4. That little widow woman, that she gave all she had. She had 2 mites. And she gave all she had. And boy, did God bless her. But then the Bible talks about, number 5, scriptural giving. And scriptural giving, this one, is given by faith. It's trusting God by faith. And that's what this whole deal is right here. And 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is about. How they gave by faith. The Bible said, if you'll notice these verses here, and by the way, I want to say this before I get to that, you can't beat faith promise giving. I'll say this now, and I'm going to say it again tonight. I'm not against budget giving to missions. I'm not against that. But if all you do is out of the budget, and that's all you do, you'll never reach the world with the gospel. I don't know about y'all, but I like these lights. I don't know about y'all, but I like air conditioning. I don't know about y'all, but I like petty pews. I don't know about y'all, but I like to see the preacher eat.
Right.
Are y'all hearing me? You say, why'd you say all that? Every bit of that comes out of the budget.
Right.
Every bit of that comes out of the general fund. So I don't say that you keep the lights on, you got to pay the bills.
Right.
I don't think new power will keep on if you don't pay the bill. And I don't think the air conditioner set. So here's what I'm saying this morning. That comes out of the budget. So if all we do is support missionaries is out of the budget, we'll limit ourselves to what we can be done. And I'll say to you this morning, how scriptural giving, it's given above the tithe, it's given above all the other offerings, and you trust God for that offering this morning. And again, let me just say this today, what a joy, just to trust God by faith, just to trust God by faith in that offering today. In this right here, if you said it here, faith promises, let me say this, I'm going to show this verse. It's not a pledge, it's not a covenant, but it's a plan out of the scriptures. A pledge is something that you pledge.
Right.
A covenant is something that you covet with somebody else about. But faith promise is a commitment that God puts on your heart. And God, you pray about, by the way, these faith promise cards. Pray during the day.
Amen.
God, what is it you want to give through me?
Amen.
He'll give through you what He'll not give to you.
Amen.
Y'all get what I just said?
And
notice these churches, and I'll just say this before I say that. Some of you right here, and here's what you're saying. I'm maxed out. There's no way.
Right.
I can't. Hear what I'm getting ready to say. Wonderful.
Because
when you can't, He can.
Yes,
faith promise is not about what you come up with.
Yes.
Notice these churches right here. Look at verse number 2. Bible said, look at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit a witness of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Church of Thessalonica, the church of Philippi, the greatest mission church in the New Testament, have the church of Antioch, have the churches of Macedonia. How that in the great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality, their liberal giving. Notice here this morning their circumstances. They're going through a hard time. They're going through trials. They're going through, and by the way, who's not going through hard times? I never dreamed I would ever see a day that we're living in right. I never dreamed I'd see a day like the day we're living in right now. Who in the world would ever thought, I probably don't have it in here, that a bag of corn chips would cost $5? have a bag. I like corn chips. Everybody saved likes corn chips. I have a bag. I carry my Bible. I just don't have it with me right now. And I'll illustrate that with that bag. $5.19 for a bag of corn chips. That's crazy, man. And I was showing this some weeks ago in Charlotte. I was preaching. And I was talking about how expensive things were. And I was talking about those corn chips. And how the economy, how bad it was. Did I tell you all that before? And I showed that bag. Next week, you know what? I sit in my office and an Amazon truck or FedEx truck comes down my driveway. And they bring me 40 bags. Hallelujah. You can't be given to God. But here's what I started to say. And your circumstances may not be good. But faith promise has nothing to do with your circumstances. You may be limited, but God's not limited. You trust God for that offering. Again, it's above all those other four offerings I made mention of. These churches of Macedonia that put Paul on the mission field, their circumstances was bad. They was going through a hard time. They was going through trials. Our trials may limit me. Trials may limit you, but trials doesn't limit God. Are you hearing it? So I'll say, if you hear this morning, you're saying to yourself, "What preacher don't understand? Gas down there is $3.45 a gallon. You buying at the wrong price." Are you listening? Preacher, you don't understand. My wife tells me, and I tell her not to tell me. I don't know how much groceries cost. I don't want to know how much groceries cost. I'm just going to tithe and give the faith promise, enjoy the blessings of God. And are you listening to me? And I know circumstances are not good, but faith promise this morning, listen to me, it's above all the others, and your circumstances may not be good, but I'll promise you, like these churches right here, God will meet that need in your life.
Right.
You say, "What are you saying, preacher?" You pray and ask God. God, what is it you want to do through my life in missions and reaching the world with the gospel? I want to ask you a question. How do you put value on a soul?
Right.
Huh? Yeah. How do you do that? We're a triune being, soul, body, spirit.
Yes,
how body's what you see, the spirit's what you are, soul's what you don't see.
Right.
How the body's temporary, how about the spirit and the soul is eternal.
Yes.
And what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose it? How do you put value on that today?
Right.
And I'll say to you this morning, you want to invest in something that will be there when you get there? It ain't the stock market.
That's right.
I promise you that. Are you listening?
Yes.
And I'll say to you this morning, your circumstances may not be good. But faith promise doesn't have anything to do with your circumstances.
Yes.
Faith promise has to do with you believing God and asking God, "God, what is it you want to do through my life and give it to missions?" Are you listening?
Right.
Now, a lot of people can't do that because they ain't right with God.
Right.
You got to be right with God to pray. Say amen right there.
Amen.
And this thing of faith promise has a lot of things in your life. Yeah, he gets you right with God. If you're not right with God, if you pray. So I'll say, first of all, there's circumstance. But look at the verse again. But I said, they're going through trials and deep poverty.
Right.
And you can identify, we can identify with that in our day. At deep poverty. It has to do with I started to say convict. They tell me not to use that word. That's politically incorrect. You're not to use word. They're inmates. No, bless God, they're convicts. That's what they are. And if they do the crime, y'all do the time. I'm preaching good. Are you listening? So I'll say to you this morning, that deep poverty has to do with a man, a convict, or an inmate that has absolutely nothing. And by the way, they don't have nothing. I was in two different jails this week. They don't have anything. And I'll say to you, but when I left, Friday afternoon, I left seeing two of them heading Jesus. Now they got everything. Amen. So I'll say to you, their circumstances is not good. And they're going through deep poverty. Going through a hard time. Notice something else about them. And I like verse number 2. Bible says in verse 2, "How the rich child of fiction, the abundance of their joy." How do you have joy and don't have anything at the same time? Well, if you got Jesus, you got everything. And by the way, at least let me say the next thing. A giving person is a happy person.
Yes, sir.
I promise you, a person that will trust God for an offering, a giving person is a happy person today. And notice again in verse number 2. Deep poverty, about another inch or so liberality. God helped them. Look at verse number 3. For their power, I bow your record. Yea, and beyond their power. In other words, they did what they could. Look at the verse. For to their power, I bow your record. Yea, and beyond their power. They did what they could, and God did what they can. I'm getting ready to do a message on living in the beyond. I want to live in the beyond, don't you? Out there where He can meet that need. And again, let me just say this to you today. That's what God wants to do in your life. Faith promise, again, is not... You think people give faith promise, you got a lot of money? No. I don't know how many churches wrote down right here on this piece of paper that you would be shocked. The number, it goes to these churches. And the amount that God gives through them, those churches. Here's a church that runs 20, and they support more missionaries than they do have attendance. Here's a church that runs 24, and they run 14. Run 14, and they got about 30 missionaries.
Amen.
You say that doesn't make sense. Well, you can't fit God in your calculator.
Right.
You can't get that figured out. I know a lot of people's faith promises far more than their tithe. Well, that went over good. Are you listening? That didn't start there. It didn't start there.
Right.
But here's another church. I run about 40, 50, 60 in church, supporting about 75, 80 missionaries. Here's another church I've been in numbers of times. Runs about, I saw not long ago, they had about 40, and supporting about 55, 60 missionaries. Here's another one, runs about 70, supporting 80 missionaries. Here's another one, runs a little bit over 100, supporting 150 missionaries. You say, how do they do that? They do it by faith.
Amen.
You trust God by faith. And notice on your card, let's just read the card, look at the card. Independence upon God. Everybody got your card?
Yes, sir.
Everybody ready? Independence upon God. I will give to the worldwide mission effort of my local church, so that all the world may know Christ. Look at the first part of the statement. Independence upon who?
That's right.
It's not what you can do.
Amen.
It's not what you can figure out.
Yes, sir.
But it's above all those other offerings. It's you trusting God for that offering.
Amen.
I'll say this real quick. I don't mean to be bragging or tooting my whistle. Many, many years ago, God, through my wife and I, started getting faith promise missions. I'm just sitting here trying to think. I'll be preaching 50 years next year. 48 years, probably. 48 years, my wife and I have seen God over and over, independence upon God.
Amen.
Independence upon God. Not what we can do, not how we can do it. And so it is with these churches right here. They're in deep poverty. Their circumstances is not good. But yet they've done what they could, and God got into that thing and did what they could not do. You see, faith promise this one's not this. It's not you sitting down taking a calculator and say, I got a tithe. Because I know what's going to happen if I don't tithe. I know Pastor McDaniel, and he probably sees them records, so I got to tithe. And by the way, number one, that's number one.
Right.
Now that really went over real good. I said number one's tithe.
Amen.
I tithe before I pay my bills.
Right.
If you don't pay your bills, tithe.
Right.
I tithe before I buy food.
Right.
That's the first thing. That's the first thing. My secretary's sitting right over here. My girlfriend's sitting right over here.
Right.
My wife's sitting right over here. And she does that. Every month, the church where we're a member at, we don't get to go much, but I promise you, the tithe and the faith promise is always there. And the tithe is the very first thing. So here's what we got to do. You take a calculator. Well, you know, I got time. Then I got to make my house payment. Then I got to make car payment. And boy, I tell you what, I got to make a payment on them golf clubs. I didn't make it last month. And I got to make a payment on this. And I got to make a payment. And when you get done figuring all that up, you're on the minus side.
Right.
Can anybody identify with that?
Right.
How in the world can I put $25, $30, $40, $50 a week above everything else in the missions?
Amen.
Well, let me answer that for you. You can't.
Right.
You can't. You don't have it.
Right.
That's not what it's about. It's about you. I'm about to get happier. Y'all hear me? I'm telling you, I've seen Him do that over and over and over and over again. And I'll say to you this morning, their circumstances right here is not good. After all these years, I start to say, well, all these 40-some years, I've seen God do that thing so many times over and over and over and over and over again. God's interested in a world that's lost without Christ. And I want to challenge you, and I want to say to you this morning, you want God to bless you? Hey, you want God, or you want God to smile on you? I'll promise you this morning, let's read all these verses. Verse 3. For their power by your record, yea, and beyond their power, their will in themselves. Praying us with much entreaty that we receive the gift. And take upon us the ministry, the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch, watch this, that we desired that Titus, let's read the verse right, insomuch that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you same grace also. To understand that, look at verse 10. And herein I give my advice, Paul says, for it is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also, well, let's read the verse right again. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Here's what happened. The church of Corinth had promised an offering a year before. They have not followed through what they said they was going to do. And what Paul does, real quick, what Paul does, he sends Titus there to remind the church of Corinth what they had. By the way, they had money. They had a lot of money. And Paul reminds them through Titus, they had paid the mission offering. And what he does, he uses the churches of Macedonia as an example to the church of Corinth. And he says, look at the Macedonians. They're in bad shape financially. They don't have what you have, but yet God used them to put the apostle Paul. You know why God does that? He does that, number one, he may get all the glory. He does that to put the missionary on the field. I'm amazed this morning. I'm telling you, after all these years of giving the missions, I'm amazed. Through our building program, where I'm a member at, our church just has went into a new building. Brand new auditorium. God has been so good. Through that building, our pastor, he's healed thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars away. You say, well, that's crazy. Well, go see what kind of shape they're in right now financially. Just a few weeks ago, they instead of giving an offering to help build a church in Africa, he didn't give an offering. He just built church. Just done the whole deal. And you say, y'all must be, but no, we're just a little mountain church up in Low Gap. Are y'all hearing me? That's the redneck capital of the world. And I'll say to you, listen to me. I'll promise you, the size of the church in your situation, I'll promise you it's amazing how God meets that. It's amazing what God does. I was preaching a mission conference. I'm about done. I was preaching a mission conference in Nicholsville, Kentucky. I'll be back there again this year. Well, you need to meet that preacher. He's a good brother. And I told one night about my wife. Her and I give the missions every week together. Let me say that the correct way. God, through my wife and I, give the missions every week. I don't give anything. I don't have anything to give, but He does it through us. So her and I, for years and years and years, God, through her and I, have been giving missions. But you know, pretty often I'll give a pretty good sized mission offering when God blesses me. Above my faith promise, and she does the same thing. Now, what she does above what we do, I don't know. I have no idea. She's been doing it for years and years and years and years. And we had this ideal probably 40 years ago. You know, most churches now don't take up an offering. Most of them give you a check. That's fine. I'm not fussed about any of that. But years and years ago, we had this policy. In the offering, she'd always get all the $1 bills. And in Baptist churches, she'd normally come out to the best side. And she'd get all the $1 bills. And I told the story in Kentucky some months ago when I was preaching to her about how that we did that. And she'd take those $1 bills and pay even above her faith promise. I didn't know what the preacher was doing. Had no idea. Next night, we'd come to church. And he said, it's like a washing tub down in front of the church. I didn't know he told the people this. Evidently, he did a call them all. And they just started coming down front, putting money in that washing tub. When they got done, it looked like a beehive. I never seen so many $1 bills in my life. And then he got up and said, this is for Pastor or this is for Preacher Barker's wife. She wasn't with me. I was by myself that week. And this is for Preacher Barker's wife. $1 bills. I never seen so many $1 bills in my life. And matter of fact, it was 681. $1 bill, 681 of them. That night when I got done with that meeting, when I got done, I wanted to come home. That's not a good idea. But I drove all night long to get home. I got home just about daylight and went in my office, and I laid that offering on my desk. And went in the bedroom. You know what my wife was doing? Sleeping. And I went to bed. I was tired. I drove all night. And after a bit, I woke up, and she come in there. She thought I'd been to Las Vegas. She thought I'd been playing poker. I said, "No, baby, that offering's yours. The preacher felt led to get you to do that." Boy, she started crying and shouting. That happens over and over and over. And by the way, you say you're a preacher. It happens to individuals too. I'll promise you this morning, faith promise this morning, it is not what you can do. The whole deal is summed up in this statement right here. In dependence upon God. I want to say this, and I'm going to sit down, my time's up. Everybody do something. How many is in this section over here? Raise your hand. Over here on this side. If y'all in this section, I'm talking about you back people too. Over here. How many is on this side? Raise your hand. Help that lady back there. All right, here we go. How many is in this section? Raise your hand. How many is in this section? Raise your hand. Hey, sir, put them two women right there. Here we go. All right. Hey, you know, I'll be involved in faith promise. Everybody just raise your hand. And you that was afraid I was going to trick you and didn't raise your hand, you ought to be involved too. You say, who's it for? Everybody. Anybody got your Bible open? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Is it verse 7? Every man, according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudging or necessity, for God loves the cheerful giver. Did I quote that right?
Yes, sir.
Notice the first two words in that verse.
Amen.
Every, who is it?
Amen.
Every man. And by the way, listen to me. That's who I'll be involved with. Every man, every woman, according to God's purpose in his heart.
Amen.
And can I tell you what that means? That commitment that God puts in your heart.
Right.
You pray and you ask God. You say, preacher, what am I supposed to do? What have you been doing? Don't stop doing it. You say, well, I'm just going to keep on doing what I've been doing. If you keep on doing what you've been doing, there's no faith involved in that.
Good.
You've done seen God do that.
Amen.
Hey, listen to me.
Good.
I ain't done. I got a hush. Hey. If you're here and there's no way you can come back tonight, can I say this? I'd come back tonight. You say, well, preacher, you just don't. I come back tonight. You need to come back tonight.
Amen.
Don't miss tonight.
Amen.
But if it's an absolute impossibility for you to come back tonight, you be sure and fill out your faith promise card and get it to the preacher before you leave this morning.
Right.
But everybody ought to come back tonight.
Amen.
I'm going to come back tonight. Will you come back tonight? Come back tonight.
Amen. Well, you just got 7 messages in 30 minutes. And so what we'll do, we're going to take a break, then we're going to come back and do it again. And let me say this. We have, in 21 years of being at this church, before I got here, two things took place. The pastor took this church out of the convention and started Faith Promise Missions Giving. I had no clue what it was. I think when I got here, Dr. Barker, we had 4 missionaries, and we had David Maynard preach our first missions conference. I didn't know a thing about missions. Our previous church gave out of the general budget. That's what they knew to do, and God blessed that work. But the more I learned about Faith Promise Missions Giving, the more I liked the idea. It was God's idea. And so what we saw over the years is every time our church gave more to missions, God took care of the church.
Amen.
As individuals, and we could probably give testimony to different people, as God burdened their heart to give more to missions,
Amen.
God met their personal need.
Yes.
And so what happened is, we got to the place, probably as a church and as individuals, we started figuring stuff out, right? I mean, we over the last few years, when we purchased this property, we went from having, I don't know, maybe $5,000 to $7,000 a month expenses that it cost $25,000 a month to operate this place. And we bought it in 2008. I don't know if you remember what 2008 was. That was a pretty rough time. And so we took on 15 missionaries that year. Later in the year, I sat down with our deacons. We had a $1,000 in the bank. Now you're talking about stress. You $25,000 bill coming and what you give to missions, and you got $1,000 in the bank. And I told our deacons, I said, look, I said, I'll take a pay cut, but we're not going to stop giving to missions. They said, why don't we do this? Won't we just keep doing what we're doing and take on more missionaries and see what God will do? And may I say, these years later, we have put in new air conditioned units and met every financial obligation we've got, and we've got excess in the bank. We've got. So what I'm saying is, if a church, you look and say, well, we did that as a church, yes. But if you don't do that as an individual, you're missing the whole principle of this thing. It's not just collectively as a church we did that. You've got to do that individually. And I know some of you sitting there going, well, you just don't understand my situation. No, but God does. And see, what we've done is we've gotten to the place we've gotten scared. People have gotten scared. Right? When everything's going good and, you know, gas is $1.75 a gallon and eggs are reasonable. Right? And corn chips.
Right.
When the reason when they fill the bag up 3/4 of the way instead of just half, you know, we can handle that. But now God's pressing our faith a little bit. So don't fail. So I'll say this and we'll close. Our theme, Matthew 9:23. Let's find out. I mean, here's a prime example. Let's find out. If God is who He says He is, and He'll do what He says He'll do, now the problem is our faith.
Yes.
So let's just find out. Let's find out what God will do. Thank you, preacher. Man, I tell you what, we ought to have about a 7-day missions revival and just let Him start from the beginning. Our stewardship, praise God. But that was good preaching.
Amen.
Good preaching. So let's do this. Let's close in prayer. Take a break. Choir, need you in the choir room. And then we'll be back at 10:30. Father, we love you. Thank you for the man of God. Thank you for the message. We pray, Father, that you would, God, just give more through us to the worldwide missions, to worldwide, get the gospel around the world. Thank you for this man of God, these other men of God. And just pray, God, that you would touch our hearts, speak to hearts. If there'd be one here that does not know you as Savior today, show them their need of salvation. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.